This is Chief for Yourself. Now, here's Gio.
Hi, and welcome to Chief for Yourself. We're dedicated to conscious living and coming from the place of the genuine self. And it could be that sometimes that self gets a bit frazzled because of the too much to do, not enough time syndrome that causes problems with your health, marriage, or relationship, and your family time. Well, our guest today has provided coaching for a variety of clients, from attorneys to artists to business owners. Aline Segura is the author of The Inefficiency Assassin, Time Management Tactics for Working Smarter, Not Longer. She also does informative organizing workshops for larger groups, such as nonprofits, schools, and hospitals, so she keeps very busy. And Aline, I'm going to sort of start at the end of the book, where you remind readers that all time management is mind management and mindset management. Can you give us an overview of just what that means?
So many times we think that time management is about finding the perfect calendar or the perfect task app to use. But even though those are great tools, what time management actually comes down to is the mind, because we need to be fully conscious of everything we do throughout the day, and our brain determines how we decide how we're going to use our time, whether we're making the decision ourselves or somebody is asking us to do something, which would take a commitment of our time. Everything that we do throughout the day is based on what our brain decides to do, and so that's why time management is truly all about mind management.
Now, what was it like for you growing up? Were you one of those neat kids, fastidious? You kind of saw this coming, or what was it like for you growing up?
I definitely would not use the adjective fastidious of me. I would say that my room was neat enough not to get into trouble with my parents, but I was very much a piler and a keeper. I loved hanging on to magazine articles and animals, but within my piles, I have those organized, so if you ask me where such and such stuffed animal was, I would be able to find it. Mm-hmm. And time-wise, my parents were very good about keeping us on a schedule, so that's probably where I got some of that from, but my time management skills really did not get developed until I was forced to in college, so that way I could stay in school.
Mm-hmm. Now, working in college, working as a teacher, did you learn anything there that you brought to the table here in your future work?
Yes. As a teacher, that's actually where I started developing the skills to teach time management. My students were in ninth grade. I taught at a Title I school for 11 years. And since organization and time management are not tested on any kind of state exam, it's not taught in the schools. So if the kiddos didn't learn it at home, then they were going to be in big trouble. And what I started doing with my freshmen is teaching them time management skills. And that's eventually what snowballed into me starting my own company.
Mm-hmm. Well, under the description of who should read the book, we find busy professionals, independent consultants, road warriors, I confess to that one, and go-getters who don't want to wake up one day and wonder where all the time went and life went, working nearly around the clock. As you draw from the work you do with your audiences and clients, are we getting this message? What kind of progress are we making that you're seeing out there?
Well, since I still have a lot of clients, not everybody in the world is making the kind of progress that they'd like. But I've seen more and more articles out there lately talking about balance and different ways to find balance. But if you look at the research, there's still quite a few statistics that show the stress levels of Americans is still very high, and a lot of Americans are working very long hours. So the awareness is there, but whether or not people choose to implement the strategies and tactics, that's still left up to debate.
Mm-hmm. One of the areas of organization you talk about in the book deals with email. As I sit here, one of the two screens facing me has about 1,200 emails. Now, they've been open, but they haven't been filed. Every morning I say, this is going to be different. I won't let the emails waste my time, but I backslide and still end up dealing with email. Talk about a good way to get the upper hand on email.
Well, for emails, what you want to do is set aside time during specific blocks of the day, and it doesn't have to be the same exact time every single day, but you definitely want to make sure that you set aside this time, as opposed to just letting your notification go off and interrupt you with what you're doing. As you go through emails, if at all possible, you can chunk them or sort them by sender. So that way you can see entire threads of a conversation all at one time, and you can usually jump to the most recent conversation piece, and you'll be able to figure out what's going on and what response you need, and you'll be able to get rid of the earlier responses because they're included in that latest thread. So if you can chunk your emails, you'll be able to get through quite a bit a lot more quickly. Also, if you don't recognize the sender, or it's very obvious that it's spam or some kind of sales pitch, you'll be able to delete those emails right away before even opening up the rest of the email. So that right there will not only save you time, but it also gives you a little more motivation to move forward, because you get to see that inbox number drop by quite a bit when you're able to delete so many at once.
Mm-hmm. Some of us like deadline pressure. We think we work better that way, but you don't especially like that idea. What's the problem with people who like to always have that clock staring at them?
Part of the problem is when we wait until the last minute to do something because we think that we work better under pressure, what we're actually doing is causing a chemical called cortisol to be released into our body. And it's okay if you have this release every once in a while, but if cortisol is being released multiple times per day, each and every day, then that chemical can be detrimental to your body and to your brain. It causes cognitive dysfunction over time. It causes stress eating, weight gain, high blood pressure. So that adrenaline that you're feeling when you're trying to do something at the last minute, it's great that it helps you push through, but it's terrible on your body. So over the long haul, you're going to end up at the doctor's a lot more often dealing with all of the detrimental effects from cortisol.
And talking about stress and those kinds of effects, you also mentioned that it's a good idea to take 10 deep breaths in certain situations. Do you like the idea of maybe working a meditation practice into your day?
If that's at all possible and folks are open to that, meditation is absolutely fantastic. And for those people who don't feel comfortable with meditation, even just informal breaths, just stopping to take 2 or 3 deep breaths, will help you to slow down, calm the pace, and will help you make much better decisions about how you're going to use your time.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing, especially on television, commercials about desks that let you stand while you're doing your work and maybe walk around or exercise or move around. Does it help that much to be physical while you're working, or can you also get distracted in that way, get away from what you should be doing?
You can still easily get distracted. And one of the things to consider with a standing desk is, although sitting all day long is terrible for your posture and your circulation, it's also terrible to stand all day long. So really, it's best if you vary it. So if you can stand for a few parts of the day and sit for a few parts of the day, that will not only help clear up your brain because there's movement, but it will also help your circulation. But going back to what you're asking about, yes, you can still get distracted because those same visual cues at your desk are still there, whether you're standing or you're sitting. Those notifications going off on your devices, they're still there whether you're standing or sitting. So having a standing desk can help with circulation, but it doesn't necessarily make you more productive if you aren't implementing the other tactics.
Our guest on this Chi for Yourself is Helene Segura, author of The Inefficiency Assassin, Time Management Tactics for Working Smarter, Not Longer.
Now, looking around at your own office or thinking about your office, what does your office look like? Are you happy with the organization you have there?
I am. I would say that my office would never be photographed for a magazine because it doesn't look perfect with matching colors on everything, but it's very functional for me. So I know exactly where my files are for my ongoing projects. They're on my left-hand side, so I can grab them. The phone is on the right-hand side of my desk, or the left-hand side of my desk, so I can write with my right hand. My laptop is there. I have a file sorter that I use for all of my action items that are in paper form. So everything that I need to function throughout the day is right there within reach at my desk.
Mm-hmm. Now, the book is built on a framework, three letters that most of us recognize as something a little darker than the way you're using it, but the letters are CIA. Talk about what the letters mean and how they help us in this process.
Yes, the CIA. I'm a huge fan of spy movies and books, so it seemed only fitting that I would use an acronym CIA. The C stands for Create Clarity, and that means we need to be very cognizant of who we're living for and what we're living for. So many times we just keep chasing ourselves, chasing our tails in circles, and we keep running and running and running after what we think we want to have, but because we are unclear about what we want, we don't realize how close we are. It's kind of hard to hit the bullseye if you don't know exactly where the target is. So it's important to be very clear, because once you're focused on what your priorities are and what your targets are, you're going to use your time more carefully throughout the day. The I stands for implement, structure, and flow. It's really important that we have some kind of structure throughout the day, so that way there is some planning involved. But at the same time, you can't be so structured that if somebody throws a wrench into your plans, you're unable to move around and modify. So you need to be able to deal with the flow as well. And that's why it's important to pad extra time into your schedule for those fires that you might need to put out. Or what if the opposite happens? Something great comes along, a wonderful opportunity. You want to have time for that too. The A is for assemble your team. It's very hard to be organized and productive on your own. That's why it's very important that you communicate with your loved ones at home, with your coworkers, and even not so loved ones at work. Whoever you're with throughout the day and evening, it's really important that you communicate schedules and expectations, so that way, as a team, you can be organized and productive.
Mm-hmm. A lot of us increasingly have to do more on the job and often with less help. But what specifically can you say to them, a quick tip to sort of get their act together and get moving in an efficient way?
What's really surprising is that the average person can lose up to 3 hours a day from time leaks. Now, time leaks are when you lose 5 minutes here or 10 minutes there to procrastination, distractions, shutting down because you're overwhelmed, you have so much to do, you don't know what to do next. And those time leaks, those 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, that's what adds up to 3 hours a day. Now, that's scary to hear, but the wonderful thing about that is those time leaks are self-imposed. And if they're self-imposed, we can choose not to do them. So if you start off your day, before you check your email inbox, if you start off your day knowing what the top three high-value tasks are that you need to complete that day, that's going to help focus. Even if somebody else interrupts you, whether it's a coworker or a phone call, having those top three tasks right there written in front of you, that's going to get you back on track. The more focused you are throughout the day, the fewer time leaks you will allow from procrastination and getting distracted, and you won't be overwhelmed because you understand what needs to get done. So just simply by choosing the top three tasks you need to complete the next day and scheduling those into your calendar, that in itself will save you a huge amount of time.
You know, you're working at work, you are speaking to coworkers, and that's one thing. When you're working from home, you're looking at family members. How do you gently let family members know that, hey, I've got to prioritize here and I love you, but I have to, you know, do certain things? How do you get that across to them?
That's part of the A in assemble your team, that communication piece. Your kids or your spouse aren't going to know what your business hours are or what important projects you have going on unless you tell them. So the evening before, you want to explain to them, okay, tomorrow I need some quiet work time from 8 in the morning until uninterrupted time, and then also explain why. Why is it important that I don't get interrupted? So, for example, I might say, if you don't want me to snap at you and be in a bad mood because I couldn't get my stuff done, then it'll be a good idea to let me have this uninterrupted time period from 8 to 11 tomorrow morning, because if I don't get this done, we will be in huge trouble. I won't be able to finish the project, get paid, and pay the bills. So just explain that to the family, and they'll be much more understanding. And if you have any forgetful family members, you can always hang a sign on the door, literally have your office hours displayed. A lot of times, family members take advantage of you being at home or think that what you're doing isn't as important because you're in pajamas or sweats. So you need to make that clear to your family members. This is really work.
And speaking of kids, do you ever see the time when we'll get time management included in course offerings in schools?
I think that a few universities are already starting that. I know that there are some college courses in organizing and productivity. I think it will be quite a bit longer before it becomes a regular occurrence across all universities. But I think that more people are opening up to the fact that if you aren't productive, if you don't have those time management skills, you won't be able to implement all these other strategies and theories that you're learning in school.
One last question, and we'll let you go on your way. What would you like to see readers take away from the book?
I would love to see readers understand that they can tell their time what to do, that there is time to finish everything that's most important to you once you learn how to focus on your priorities and targets. And the book is absolutely full of strategies and tactics. You can look at the table of contents, choose the chapter that contains the issue that's bothering you, and you have steps in there that will walk you through one step at a time to help you solve whatever time management problem you're having. So you do have the power to tell your time what to do and have a chance to live the life that you want to live.
And where would we find your website?
For details about the book, The Inefficiency Assassin, or details about webinars, or to connect with me, everyone can go to theinefficiencyassassin.com.
All right. Well, the book is The Inefficiency Assassin, Time Management Tactics for Working Smarter, Not Longer, from our guest, Helene Segura. Helene, thanks so much for being with us today and shedding so much light on what we can do to take control of our time. I appreciate it. Do come back. And I know you're busy and we'll be working on new projects. So come back when you can and talk to us again.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
We'll post a link to Helene's website at chieffortyourself.com. Lots of places where you can hear Chief for Yourself. One of those is Stitcher.com. Hello to everyone who listens on Stitcher. I invite you to like us on Facebook, follow us on YouTube as well. As always, the best way to get details about the shows is to check our blog posts on Genulines. You can get words sent to you when you become a subscriber. Just put your email address into the box provided. Well, that's going to do it for today. Thanks very much for taking the time to be with us. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.